I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Your host for 2 hours today, 9 to 11 o'clock today in the second hour. It is Wednesday, so we will do Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. But I've got a lot of health-related material, even in the first hour. It may bleed. I may violate the sanctity of Hump Day Health and if I can't get to all of this, because I think it's important stuff. I talked a little bit yesterday about culture war stuff, and most particularly the gender-bending things. And I've had a suspicion for a while, and then it kind of got sparked in me as I was hearing somebody the other day talk about their child was attempting to transition from a girl to a boy in, I think it might have been high school. And the parent just kind of offhandedly mentioned that they had already been diagnosed with ADHD. And I've talked a lot about this, so I know I'm kind of repeating myself, but we've over-medicated our children. And I believe there are some pretty big warning signs, some big red flags that show that this chemical environment that we are putting our kids in between the food, the medications, is possibly at the root of why are we seeing this younger generation suddenly have these issues, these gender identity issues in such large numbers. Now, some level of this has always been around. Certainly the culture is driving this. The media complicity, the left-wing ideology of identity politics is driving a lot of this and highlighting it and trying to make it more acceptable. But I believe, I always kind of come at these big topics from a slightly different approach, and I believe it is this chemical cocktail that we are exposing our children to that is having some pretty profound effects. And this is, if it's not talked about, then parents don't need to be on the lookout for this. If you've got kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, or other children you love, you might want to stick around and think about these things, because I've got a lot of research. This is, I'm not going to go on a long diatribe of opinion here. We're going to look at some of the studies that have been done around some of these chemicals and their effect on hormone and brain development. And boy, do I think that's important. And it is, it's much like these mass shootings. Oh, they'll talk about the guns. Occasionally, very, very rarely, but occasionally on the right, they will talk about the fact that most of these school shooters are from broken homes. But rarely ever do they also mention that all these shooters are on these psychotropic drugs, antidepressants, antipsychotics, ADHD medications. And so I make sure that I talk about it here. Anyway, if you want another plank, if you actually want to make some difference with kids and their confusion over their sexuality, this confusion over their own gender, we may look at what we're actually putting into their systems and into their brains, how we're affecting their hormones. There's some stuff I think people will be pretty shocked at. And it's not hard to not do this to your children. But you can't not do it if you don't know what it is you should be avoiding. So we're going to take a look at that for a pretty extended period today, because there's a lot of different things in our environment right now that I think are responsible for some of these gender issues. I'm going to spare you for today of my analysis of the Trump speech yesterday. I started watching it last night. I had to stop watching it. not out of time constraints, but out of just shaking my head. I just couldn't take any more. He focused heavily in the initial portion of this on crime in the United States today, and he was He was really dead on right about some of the problems that we're seeing with crime right now in the U.S., especially in Democrat-run areas. I certainly have no argument with him there. And then he just completely went off the rails. And the saddest thing is, I know he took a bunch of conservatives with him. And when I do talk about this, I'll explain to you why probably I come across as maybe a little scolding or cautionary. Maybe it's more of a, have you thought this all the way through? I think I do a lot of stuff on conservative talk radio when I talk to people on the right, to conservatives, to Republicans, and say, have you really thought this all the way through? Because it appears, and as I watch this Trump speech, as everybody heralds his return, I see this is why conservatives will never understand or defend real freedom in this country. But I'm sorry, that's true. I'm sure I'll get around to that at some point. So fair warning, big-ass trigger alert. Because Trump didn't have much energy in that speech either. It was really kind of interesting. He was in a small, you know, it wasn't a big rally, open-air rally with a microphone. He was in a smaller room just with supporters and a bunch of the swamp. Kevin McCarthy, a lot of politicians in that room that he was talking to. He just seemed kind of subdued. So anyway, but he looked great. I will give him that. For all of the presidents that go in and out of office and look like they've aged 100 years, Donald Trump looks exactly the same as he did in 2015, 2016 when he was campaigning. Something's going on with that guy. We'll get into financial stuff. I can tell you what, I'll go ahead and get my first break out of the way, and we'll take a look at where we are economically and where the government tells us we are. Remember, don't believe your lying eyes. It's earnings season, and GDP is expected actually to be announced tomorrow. So I'm going to hand over the sarcastic reins to Zero Hedge when we come back, and then we'll go from there. But stick around. I'll be right back. So today is the day that the Federal Reserve is going to announce another rate hike. It's largely expected they will do 75 basis points, or that's 0.75%, on interest rate. This will raise borrowing costs for everybody, for mortgages, for all these kinds of things. It's interesting to me. I think people are paying attention to what the Federal Reserve is doing right now. They just unfortunately do not understand what it has already done. And that's my mission here, to make sure that people understand what's going on. For now, it's earnings season. GDP is expected tomorrow on the 28th to be announced. Very real possibility that it will come in as another negative number. That will be the second quarter in a row that we've had negative growth in the United States. That has been known since, I believe, 1955 to signal a recession. The White House is currently trying to redefine recession the same way they redefined a vaccine. I'll hand over the sarcastic reins to Zero Hedge. They had this story yesterday. Walmart can't get rid of its excess inventory. McDonald's is seeing lower income customers trade down. By that, apparently, they mean that at McDonald's, they're having a tough time selling those $10 combos, but they're selling a heck of a lot of the value items on their menu. Back to the article, Pulte Homes said that home order cancellations have doubled in the last 30 to 60 days. New home sales crashed and median prices plunged and consumer confidence tumbled. But apart from that, the consumer is strong and the economy is definitely not in a recession if you believe the politicians and elites. Here's the stack of headlines economically, as I believe we are living through right now. The Great Unraveling. World's biggest consumer names announce soaring price increases. Did they ever define how long transitory was? We're well over a year in now. That transitory, I guess maybe there's a weasel word in there. Well, I mean, in the history of all mankind, this is really just the blink of an eye. World's biggest consumer names announce soaring price increases. Inflation hits bodega favorite, bacon, eggs, and cheese. Half Americans fall deeper in debt. Shopify cuts staff. Tech firms tighten belts. Google growth slows as pressures mount on ad market. I don't know what this headline is. $9.4 trillion results day looms in test for stock market. Not sure what that's about, actually. I didn't even click on the link. I just pulled the headlines here. The Economist wrote, home prices to plunge on cratering demand. And the Fed readies largest rate hike since Paul Volcker. The government says to you,
all right, move on. Nothing to see here. Please disperse. Nothing to see here. Please.
It's always a good day when you can bring Leslie Nielsen from Naked Gun in to do a quote. Nothing to see here. That's what the government tells you. All those headlines notwithstanding. And not the fact that McDonald's can't sell its combo meals for $10. And everything is fine and everything's going great. Elizabeth Warren has got a solution. She wrote, I believe this was an op-ed. Let's see. Yep. She did a Wall Street Journal op-ed. This is Elizabeth Warren. I'm going to just cut to one little piece of it here so I don't have to use too much time. She's got some solutions for inflation. She's mad at the Fed because the Fed is raising interest rates. She says Congress should do its part to fight inflation. Let's see. You think she's going to say we should stop all this spending that's created all this money printing, which has created this inflation? You think that's what Elizabeth Warren, the Democrat socialist from Congress, says? No, she says Congress should do its part to fight inflation. Investing in high-quality, affordable child care would lower costs by bringing more than 1 million parents into the workforce. Now, what does government speak when they say the word investing at the government level? What does that mean? Investing means spending money, creating new programs that will have to be funded through more printed money. She says investing in high-quality, affordable care would lower costs. Now, it doesn't actually lower the cost. It might lower the cost to the individual. It puts the burden on the government, and the only way the government can do that is to print money. And when they print money, it exacerbates inflation. And she also says by bringing more than 1 million parents into the workforce. That's a hell of a thing, isn't it? Essentially, what she's saying is, look, we're going to keep overspending. This is going to make the Fed continue to print money, which is going to exacerbate inflation. So what you need to do is you need to get out and get you another job in your household. We're not going to stop our contribution to inflation, but we're going to try to make it to where we can take care of those kids so you can get out there and get you another job to afford this inflation. I'm sure she would not see it that way, but that's exactly what that sentence says to me. She says ending tax breaks for offshoring and investing in American manufacturing would create good jobs and strengthen supply chains. Well, she's channeling her inner Donald Trump there. Allowing Medicare to negotiate prices for prescription drugs would lower health care costs. Yeah, isn't that interesting that our Congress put into Medicare Part D, the prescription drug plan, that the Republicans, this was my waking up moment to the Republican Party when I saw this, led by, what was the guy's name? Billy Bro. Who's the guy down in Louisiana that negotiated the prescription drug plan? The Republican House, Republican Senate under the Republican George Bush gave the largest giveaway, the largest entitlement program since Lyndon Baines Johnson, the Republicans did back in 2004, I believe it was. And Senator Bro from Louisiana ended up, after the bill passed, this giant payoff to the pharmaceutical companies to essentially means what they did was they said, well, the government will start to pay for all the old people's drugs. It's a win-win. They got massive contributions from the pharmaceutical companies. Old people got their drugs paid for. The pharmaceutical companies didn't have to worry about these pesky old people who can't afford their drugs. The government just started stroking the check. And then I think it was 8 of the 9 sponsors of these of Medicare Part D on the Republican Party parachuted out into big pharma jobs. Billy Towson. Is that who it was? Billy Towson, I believe. He was the Congress critter who did this. He ended up being the head of the pharma. That's the largest lobbying group for big pharma at $2 million a year. It was like the year after he got this bill through a Republican Congress. Do you understand my tiny delusion with the Republican Party? Allowing Medicare to negotiate. And then Elizabeth Warren finishes up with then giving the Biden administration more tools to bolster competition policy would help crack down on price gouging by large corporations. Of course, that is her it's just greedy business owners. Nothing that Elizabeth Warren is proposing would address inflation. As a matter of fact, basically all of the things in here are inflationary, including even if you added a million more people to the workforce. That's just more people earning more money. It certainly does not reduce demand, does it? So it keeps inflation going. Anyway, Elizabeth Warren, never too late for another bad idea. They will not address inflation. The Fed will not be serious about it. The Fed will pivot, and they will start printing money. Inflation is here for a long time. It's going to get worse. A recession will tamp down inflation for a little while, but it will be back with a vengeance when they start to address a recession in this country with anyone more money printing, which is what they do every time we go into a recession. One other thing before I get into the kind of the meat of this show today, which is going to be, I'll just give you the title of this article I'll start with that's from Psychology Today. The title of it is Hormone Disruptors and Gender Development. If you are on the front lines of the culture war and you're concerned about our kids, not only the influences they're under when they're in their schools and their libraries, you might want to pay attention to what we're doing to our kids physically, physiologically, too, because I don't think it's a coincidence that the last 20 years, as we've rolled out more and more of these chemicals and given more and more of our kids these medications, I don't think it's a coincidence we're seeing more and more kids join this gender dysphoria. So stick around for that. But before I do that, I just think this is kind of funny. I'm enjoying seeing the incredible hack, Dr. Zha, the former NBC top doc during COVID, who told us all to wear a neck gaiter or a cotton mask and all kinds of other lockdown, stay away from each other, COVID's going to kill us all. He was just abhorrent on NBC for a long time. He was so bad on NBC as an authoritarian, mainstream idiot doctor that they just had to promote him, and now he is the chief medical guy at the White House. He's the COVID coordinator, Ashish Jha. But they keep asking him. I talked about this a little bit yesterday, but apparently I asked, you know, a few days ago after Biden announced he had COVID, some reporters said, why aren't we hearing from the White House doctor? Well, I reported on that yesterday because, of course, the spokes hole was terrible about the explanation. She hemmed and hawed about it. But I thought to myself, well, the story's a couple of days old. Surely the White House doctor has come out and addressed the health of the most powerful man in the world. Of course, we know that's laughable, but apparently that doctor is still hidden, and they started asking again. The White House press, for all their faults, and they are absolutely abhorrent, they're basically just the mouthpiece of the state at this point. They don't like it. They don't like it when you don't give them access to the people they want access to.
One of the questions that's been asked, and we'll have to raise it again, is why the president's personal physician is not here. Are you familiar with a reason that the president decided not to send his physician here to answer our questions the way that his predecessors have decided to send their physicians here?
KJP, I don't know if you want to start it. I'm happy to give my thoughts, or you want me to just give mine?
Why don't you start
it, and
I'll come in.
Can you please come? I don't know how to answer this question. You want me to lie, or do you want to lie? I mean, you guys are the ones that create the lies. You told me what the lie should be. Now, do you want to come up here and lie, or you want me to lie? No, you go ahead and lie. You go ahead and tell the first lie.
Yeah, so look.
Look.
You've heard every day and from the president's physician through his detailed accounting of his assessment, his plan.
We've given you some written down stuff that we swear is from the White House physician.
I have been speaking to both his personal physician. I speak to him every single day at length with the president on an ongoing basis. And the bottom line is the president has had, thankfully, because he is double vaccinated, double boosted, he's had a relatively mild upper respiratory infection. And
I had COVID too. You know who else is? I'm not double vaxxed, double boosted, and I didn't even notice that I had COVID. So I don't know. That's really proof the vaccine works.
In that context, we have provided, I think, an extraordinary amount of transparency about his care, when he got tested positive, how he's done each day, the evolving nature of his symptoms. Is his runny nose a little worse, a little bit better? Like, we've been very, very open and transparent with all of that data.
Yeah, so there you go. Nothing more to see here. We are just knocking the cover off the ball. So, but the White House press corps, and it's petty because it's just them. You know, hey, it's us now. We want to talk to the White House doctor. But they didn't let him off the hook.
To follow up on Dr. O'Connor not being here, is this a situation where Dr. O'Connor does not want to come and talk about the president's health, or where the president doesn't want Dr. O'Connor talking about his health?
I will tell you, I have spoken both to the president and to Dr. O'Connor on an ongoing basis, and neither of them has expressed a preference on either. Dr. O'Connor has not at any point said he doesn't want to come. The president has not at any point said he does not want Dr. O'Connor to come. So I would say neither of those is correct.
Okay.
He just doesn't have time. Well, he's a busy guy. He just doesn't have time to swing by and talk to the media about this. You know, we're endlessly told that Joe Biden is so important to on the world stage. I told you I heard that report where they said the world is nervously awaiting to hear the who cares? Now look, I don't care about any of this stuff at all. Here's my suspicion. The White House doctor, the White House and the White House doctor realize that if he gets in front of that stage, he ain't just going to be reporting about COVID symptoms. He is going to be asked about Joe Biden's mental health, his cognition. And I believe, I haven't seen this anywhere, I don't know, but when they say, well, there's no real talk about it, he just hadn't come by. I believe this doctor's like, please don't make me go out there and field questions. You know, maybe this is a doctor with a small, tiny, microscopic sense of ethics. He just does not want to go out there and field questions about Joe Biden's mental health, because they would come. Maybe just Peter Doocy, I don't know. The media, as I told you, I think they are trying to take down Joe Biden right now. He's 79 years old. I can imagine asking Joe Biden's physician questions could last for hours. He's 79-year-old with COVID in very obvious mental decline. I don't blame a doctor for not wanting to go out in front of a crowd and do that, but I'm kind of sure the media putting their feet to the fire. Something's suspicious. Something's very suspicious here that they are not putting this doctor out there. Everybody else has. For some reason, Joe Biden does not want his doctor talking to the media. I don't blame him, but I know what they're hiding. I'll be right back. What's the frequency, Ken, at the shop in Sedrain? All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. About to get into kind of the meat of the show here. I'm going to add another layer to what is being billed as a culture war. I think it may be a chemical war, that we've got problems with our kids, possibly because of the things that we are exposing them to physically that are having some of these effects on gender issues for these kids. Before we get to that, though, I guess that was breaking news. Joe Biden is now tested negative for COVID. He'll be back masked up. He's got the black cotton mask that does absolutely nothing. Don't let him sniff your little girls. So the narrative has been that he, you know, double vaxxed, double boosted, still got COVID, mild. They put him on Paxlovid. This is prompted Deborah Birx to come out with her new hairdo. She's ditched the scarves. She looks worse. That's a shame. She came out and said that really, you know, going forward, she admitted that they knew that the vaccines were never going to stop infection, even though that's how they sold them. I just wonder, are doctors out there not furious about this? I mean, they told doctors, you get this shot, you give your patients this shot, COVID's over. We're out. Your patient will be safe. And doctors went out there and echoed that line and injected this experiment into the arms of their patient populations. And now you've got the chief chick, Birx, going, oh, we knew this was never going to stop infection. Doctors should be livid. I guess they will do what people do in politics, too, which is just justify everything away. Well, I mean, yeah, maybe they wouldn't. But still, it's going to, you know, the betrayal is just, it's too painful to recognize. Just like Carl Sagan said, the big bamboozle. Once you've been bamboozled, it's just too painful to admit it to yourself. But Deborah Birx said that the way forward is this Paxlovid. She apparently is still sponsored by Pfizer. And so they say they gave Paxlovid to Biden. Now, what do you think is really going on behind the scenes? He probably took ivermectin and vitamin D because he really wanted to get well. He doesn't really care about, you know, using these experimental pharmaceutical projects himself. He's just out hawking them because that's where the money's at. But if he did take Paxlovid, I guess we'll find out, because there's a very good chance as a 79-year-old, if he took it, he will test negative relatively quickly. And right on schedule, there he is with the negative test. He'll get two more days of those negative tests, and then wham, by next week, he'll be deep into heavy COVID symptoms. That is a regular occurrence using Paxlovid, the bounce-back symptoms. So I guess we'll see. If he sails into the sunset and there's no problems, to me that'll say, oh, of course he wasn't taking Paxlovid. He knows better than that. That's just for the little people. All right, let's get into the meat of the show today, and this may actually bleed over into Hump Day Health. It's all health-related, believe me. So we've got a situation in this country where we have got mental insanity of there are no two sexes, gender is a construct, three-year-olds should be able to decide what sex they are, seven-year-olds should be able to, without parental consent, have hormone blockers. You know, I mean, that's mental insanity. There's no doubt about that. I think that's driven by very, very evil people, and then innocent people are being duped into this stuff. So there is the cultural side of it, the propagandistic side of it, the identity politics side of it. There's no doubt about that. But is there something very real going on with our kids that are suddenly confused about gender? And I would say adults as well. You know, maybe adults who have been confused are now projecting upon their children, and the children are confused. I believe there are environmental considerations to bring up as well. This is an article, and I'm going to go into several of the different products, several of the different things that we are exposing our children to. If you have got young children, you might want to think about this. If you've got grandchildren, nieces, nephews, or just children that you love, you may want to think about some of these things. I don't think it's a coincidence that we're seeing these problems. We now have a generation that is less healthy than the generations before them. It's the first time this has happened. And I don't think it's a coincidence that we've rolled out all these medications, all these different kinds of foods, all these chemicals that are in these foods over this same time period. It's awfully coincidental. There's an article written in Psychology Today, the title of it, Hormone Disruptors and Gender Development. I'm going to do a little bit of reading here, but I think it's important to understand. And I have got every one of my sources linked here. If you want my show notes to take a look at this stuff, you're more than happy, welcome to do it, or you can start doing your own research. You really don't need me, but I'm happy to give you my source material on any of this stuff if you email me, mikemadison@wyab.com. Hormone disruptors and gender development on Psychology Today. The age of chemistry solved all kinds of problems, from flexible new materials to more productive agriculture. The benefits were obtained at the cost of many insidious problems. These include damage to critical ecosystems and a variety of toxicity-related diseases and developmental disorders. Such issues were highlighted by research showing that polluted ponds could turn male frogs into females. More about that later. Interestingly, some of the affected frogs were capable of reproducing but produced all male offspring that had the effect of crashing the population. Such problems are not restricted to wildlife occupying heavily polluted areas. They are also found in humans leading their lives in apparently clean homes in non-toxic environments. One casualty of under-the-radar hormone disruptors is gender development. Again, this is Psychology Today. Humans may be vulnerable to hormone disruptors in ways that resemble the effects of frogs inhabiting polluted wetlands. The culprits are products, such as cosmetics, that are not ordinarily considered dangerous or polluting. One example contains phthalates present in packaging plastics. Another candidate is pharmaceuticals. This phenomenon emerged in connection with the contraceptive drug, dithiolestilbestrol. Mothers who were unaware of their pregnancy continued to take the drug. It was found to have masculinizing effects on the brains of female fetuses. The limited evidence available indicated that when they matured, such females were less interested in caring for children and more interested in female romantic partners. I really should get this drug right. I don't know if this is still one of the birth controls that people are taking. It's dithiolistilbestrol. Again, if you're on these drugs, if you're on these birth control, you might want to email me and I'll just cut and paste the word so you can check the packaging. Mothers who were unaware of their pregnancy continued to take the drug. It was found to have masculinizing effects on the brains of female fetuses. The limited evidence available indicated that when they matured, such females were less interested in caring for children and more interested in female romantic partners. Recent evidence indicates that phthalates from plastic and polychlorinated biphenyls, PCBs, are one of many factors predicting gender dysphoria, particularly in the case of male-to-female transgenders. Researchers are beginning to recognize, based on limited available evidence, that the chemical environment is one of many available explanations for gender dysphoria in modern environments. On the one hand, this phenomenon is a canary in the coal mine, offering yet one more clue that we are endangering our health and well-being through incautious acceptance of modern materials that pose endocrine threats. The semblance of comfort and convenience that products such as plastic wrapping and cosmetics present is the sheep's clothing beneath which major threats to our species may reside. For, if hormone disruptors affect gender orientation and gender dysphoria, we can be sure they are clear and present danger to the reproduction and long-term viability of our species. So this is talking about plastics, pharmaceuticals, and there's other things to be aware of as well. I got several articles here. I didn't do a good job this last break pulling up my links here, and I'm going to have to kind of pick and choose on these, how deep I get into these articles, because it really might take me the rest of the day to get through these things. But I want to assure you, some of these things I'm going to get into are NIH studies. These are not conspiracy theories. Yes, Alex Jones did say they're turning the frogs gay. I'll read you the study, not on Alex Jones, what he was actually talking about. They are making the frogs gay. Chemicals have made frogs gay. Drugs and hormones, how common prescriptions impact the endocrine system. This is a study on Naturopathic Doctor News and Review, and they go through several of the things that can be hormone disruptors, pharmaceutical culprits, analgesics. These are prescription drugs used to control pain. This is also includes opioids. They go into steroids, which a lot of people are on, and probably even our kids. They'll throw out steroids just like they throw out antibiotics. Oral isotretinoin. Dermatologic agents often include the acne medication isotretinoin. Tretinoin. This medication is a teratogen, pregnancy category X, and comes with a host of known side effects, including depression, anxiety, suicidal ideation, pseudotumor cerebri, pancreatitis, hearing impairment, visual impairment, irritable bowel disease, headaches, and many more. I mean, this is something taken for acne. Goes into contraceptives, which we just talked about, so you might want to do that research too. If you're taking if you're taking contraceptives right now, this could have lasting effects when you actually end up having children themselves. This is the ISSM. What does that stand for? Let me pull this up. I can't see exactly what this is. It's one of these professional things. Can prescription medications affect testosterone levels? Yes. A decrease in testosterone levels can be a side effect of certain prescription medications, such as the following. Now, this is mostly, when I was looking through this, I'm really kind of focusing in on the kids. But look, adults are driving this train of gender dysphoria. Most of the people who are trans or questioning or whatever they are adults that have taken a lot of these adult medications. medications that decrease testosterone, ketoconazole. I am really apologize for butchering all of these things. Maybe I should have put them in some kind of a translation software so I could hear them said. But Extena, Nizoral, Ketoderm, used to treat infections caused by fungal or yeast, athlete's foot, dermatitis, dandruff. This is something that can reduce testosterone level. Tagamet, often prescribed to help people with ulcers or gastroesophageal reflux. GERD, reduce testosterone. Spiro, Aldecatone, another medicine used to treat high blood pressure and heart failure, reduces testosterone. Certain antidepressants may lower testosterone levels. Chemotherapy, opioids, statins also. Statins, another type of drug that may lower testosterone levels, both men and women. I have long suspected and reported on the lack of testosterone. I think it's one of the reasons that we put up with in this country so much more than our founding fathers did. There was a small tax levied on the colonists back in 1775, 76. And they got up in arms at it and took their freedom back and kicked the British out of this country. We are currently taxed and abused far more than that, and we sit back and do absolutely nothing. It may be our declining testosterone levels. There's another big culprit in this. I got to take a break. I'll come back because this stuff is in everything. It is in everything. If you've got young boys in particular. And this is dangerous for girls, but when it comes to gender issues, I got to tell you, this one ingredient that is in just a ton of different foods, you may want to take a look at this one. We'll do it when we come back. Stick around. You can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. All right, I know there are a lot of culture warriors out there on the right, and you do deserve, you're on the right side of history to go out there and fight this culture war. I am pointing you to something else you may take into consideration. It could have a direct impact on you and your offspring. And we're talking about these gender-bending chemicals in all kinds of different things we're consuming. I don't have a whole lot of time, but I think I got time to get into this one, and I think this is a big one. It is soy. You go to your pantry and check all of your boxed and bagged products. There's going to be soy in every one of them. Soy is everywhere. A 2021 paper comes from Japan where a team of researchers administered soy isoflavones, the estrogenic compound of soy, to baby catfish and succeeded in making them 100% female. Researchers have been able to turn male catfish into females by administering female hormones, but this method is banned for fish or human consumption. Soy isoflavones have the same effect and apparently can be administered legally. Now, this story, this is from the Weston Price group. They said, this is all about, they want female catfish because they grow faster, they weigh more. But this is something that is being put into the food supply. And as I say, a lot of the foods that you are eating have got soy in them. I'm talking things you do not suspect. A 2004 study titled Increased Aggressive Behavior and Decreased Affiliative Behavior in Adult Male Monkeys After Long-Term Consumption of Diets Rich in Soy Protein and Isoflavones comes from the journal Hormones and Behavior. This study found that monkeys fed a diet high in soy isoflavones became aggressive loners. The official explanation, quote, estrogen produced by aromatization of gonadal androgen has an important facilitative role in male typical aggressive behavior that is mediated through its interaction with estrogen receptors in the brain. Isoflavones found in soybeans and soy-based dietary supplements bind ER and have dose and tissue-dependent effects on estrogen-mediated responses. The estrogenic isoflavones, and I mean, this goes into all kinds of behavior issues that we're seeing with the aggressive nature of some young men, right? The estrogenic isoflavones did not make the monkeys nicer, as might be expected. Instead, diets with high levels of isoflavones made the monkeys both more aggressive and more submissive. In addition, the proportion of time spent by monkeys on high isoflavone diets in physical contact with other monkeys was reduced by 68%. Time spent in proximity to other monkeys was reduced by 50%, and time spent alone was increased 30%. The researcher said the results indicate that long-term consumption of a diet rich in soy isoflavones can have marked influences on patterns of aggressive and social behavior. I am telling you right now, go do a little look through your pantry. Look at the stuff you're feeding your kids. Look at those chicken nuggets. There's a whole host of things in there that are not good for your kids. And this segment is going to bleed right over into my health segment. I've got a lot more to cover here. But the soy stuff is in everything. It's in your chicken nuggets. It's in your all of your packaged and processed products that I've been railing against here for 5.5 years now. But when it comes to what we're doing to our kids gender-wise, behavior-wise, and this is also for adults. This stuff does apply to adults, too. I've got a soft spot for kids, and this seems to be where the battle lines are drawn in this culture issue, particularly like in our schools. Maybe we should be looking at what we're doing to our kids physiologically and psychologically at the same time when it comes to these gender issues. I'm not done. There's more things implicated in this situation. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it is Wednesday. Every Wednesday between 10 and 11 o'clock, we focus in on health-related issues. I try to convince people that the fate of your health is largely in your hands, even when it comes to genetic stuff. Genes turn on and off, and our environment is turning on genes we may not want turned on. And we're talking today, I started last hour. Some people just listen to the health show. They find my political views off-putting. I don't blame you. That's okay. That's all right. Some people just don't want to hear politics, but they're interested in the health stuff. This is going to kind of cover both. When it comes to our kids and this gender dysphoria that we seem to be seeing out there, some of it's driven culturally. There are people who are using this for political gain. But I got to tell you, I look at these things pretty differently when you stop and think that a lot of these people, even these young adults who have been raised on diets of these chemicals, like the soy I just talked about. Listen to this. For example, infants who consume soy-based formula can have blood concentrations of isoflavones that are 13,000 to 22,000 times higher than the natural level of estrogen in babies not fed infant formula. This study goes on to say, now I'm going to do my disclaimer in just a second. I'm not drawing straight lines from one thing to another. I don't know. Nobody knows. And you're going to find, as I read these stories, here's the thing about almost all these things. They don't know. They don't study these things. So we look at just gender-bending stuff, and we see this wholly as some kind of a cultural issue. It's just influencers. It's TikTok. It is these things. These get into our kids' heads. But are we priming our children for gender dysphoria through the chemicals we are introducing and the dietary things that we're giving our kids? I view those kids very differently than other people who just automatically hate on these people when you realize they've been under chemical attack. And adults aren't paying attention to this. Nobody's paying attention to this. So I'm going to inject it. You know, this story about the soy says this seems like it might be a worry, talking about increase 13,000 to 22,000 times higher than natural levels of estrogen for babies who consumed soy-based formula. They say this might seem like a worry, but followed through adolescence and young adulthood, soy-fed babies show no adverse reproductive effects. But what does all this estrogen do to a young boy? No, nobody knows. They don't study these things. There's no money in studying these things. There's money in selling soy-based formula. Let me go ahead and give my disclaimer here. I am not a doctor. I'm not a scientist, not a biologist, not a chemist, not a vaccinologist, not a virologist, not a doctor, not a surgeon, not a therapist, not a nurse. I'm not nothing. I got no certification to advise you on your health in any way. And I cannot, through my research, draw a direct line between one product and kids turning gay. Not that there's anything wrong with that. There's my Seinfeld reference for the day. Look, people can be people, but what I'm saying is we should start looking at the chemical environment that we are raising our children in. If you want to know why kids are confused about their sexuality, maybe we should look at the things that are affecting their hormones, affecting their brains, affecting their development. I'm going to go through all of those things here. So there's a couple other things I think we should take a serious look at. This is hormones given to livestock. While some hormones used are naturally occurring, others could be synthetic versions. Many hormones are approved safe by the FDA, of course. They include steroid hormones, estrogen, testosterone, and progesterone used to promote growth and weight gain in livestock. Recombinant bovine growth hormone, this is this RBGH, to increase milk yield in cattle. There's a whole host of problems with this. And you'll see now milk is, people started to catch on, and it will say RBGH free on their milk. But if you are buying the cheapest version of milk that you can find, there's a good chance that you are ingesting this stuff with this bovine growth hormone in it. IGF-1, it's an insulin-like growth factor. It also is used to enhance milk production in cattle. The story goes on to say, independent studies, however, suggest a strong likelihood of IGF-1 with cancer. Hormone-treated milk is linked to early puberty in children. This is what kicked off my whole interest in natural health stuff. I didn't want my daughter going into puberty at 7 years old. Hormone-treated milk is linked to early puberty in children. Drinking milk with hormones during pregnancy may affect the health of infants in their adulthood. So this is another thing, and why I'm especially happy to have as a sponsor here on this radio station and on this show, Stonington Beef. You want to give your kids, you want to give yourself good quality stuff, not loaded up with antibiotics and hormones like most conventionally raised cattle is that you find on your grocery store shelves. Check out StoningtonFarm.com. That's StoningtonFarm.com. Mississippi born, raised, and grass-fed from the beginning to the end. No antibiotics, no steroids, and you can buy in bulk and actually save money. I don't really know what the I don't know what the objection to any of these things would be. It's great, great tasting beef from a local farm here down in, I think it's Perkiston, Mississippi, down south. A great family farm that is providing good beef, no hormones, no antibiotics, raised naturally on grass as cows are meant to be. StoningtonFarm.com. I'll go ahead and throw that in there right now. So let's get into another of these things. We've looked at soy. We've looked at... Well, I'm going to go back and recap at the end. This was an interesting one, too. And this is what kicked off this whole idea, was I heard this woman say she was battling with the schools who were trying to help her daughter transition without her knowledge. And she just offhandedly said, you know, my child had already been diagnosed with ADHD. Now, I didn't hear if her child had been medicated with it, but I can guarantee you with every ADHD diagnosis comes a pill. And this is one of these chemical experiments we've been doing on our children. I don't know how many of us, middle-aged people, understand. We all went to school with some hyperactive kids. I was not always focused in school. I got up to no good every now and then. My parents didn't slap me on a pill. It was called being a young boy. Now it is a mental disease. And doctors are dishing out Ritalin and Adderall and these drugs like they're candy. You've got whole schools where you ask your kids, how many of your friends have to take their meds with their lunch? Oh, Sally wasn't herself today. She forgot her meds. This is a disaster. Adolescent boys who take stimulant medication to treat attention deficit hyperactivity disorder for more than 3 years are likely to be slimmer and shorter than their peers, a new study has found. I wonder how many of the people out there, how many of you doctors out there went and, you know, you took your young, aspiring athlete into the doctor's office because one of the teachers said he just won't sit still in class because he's got boundless energy like a child's supposed to have, and you took him to a doctor, and the doctor said, well, we got a pill for that. Did they tell you? Well, he's going to be lighter and smaller. Is that a problem? The study published in the Medical Journal of Australia examined data on 63 boys between 12 and 16 who had ADHD and had been on stimulant medication for more than 3 years. Boys aged between 12 and 14 years who took stimulant drugs for ADHD were lighter and slimmer than boys of the same age without ADHD. Between 14 and 16, they had lower weight, but were also significantly shorter than the control group, the study found. The researchers also found that taking ADHD stimulant medication could affect the rate that boys progress through puberty. Quote, for the younger children who were between ages 12 and 14, there wasn't any discernible difference in the stage of puberty between them and the control group. But in older boys, the 14 to 16-year-olds, the ones on ADHD medication were behind in their puberty. And so this is just another one of these chemical cocktails to take in consideration. I'm not drawing any direct lines from one thing to another. What I'm telling you is our young people are under chemical assault. This is a study when it comes to not only ADHD, but our kids, part of their meds that they need to take now are drugs for anxiety. And a lot of the anxiety is created by adults who project their own fears onto their children, particularly over the last 2 years. Take a breath. This is a PubMed article. I want you to listen to this. Various antidepressants are commonly used to treat depression and anxiety disorders, and sex differences have been identified in their efficacy and side effects. Steroids, such as estrogens and testosterone, both in the periphery and locally in the brain, are regarded as important modulators of these sex differences. This review, this is again a PubMed paper, this review presents published data from preclinical and clinical studies that measure testosterone and estrogen level changes during and or after acute or chronic administration of different antidepressants. The majority of studies show an interaction between sex hormones and antidepressants on sexual function and behavior or in depressive symptom alleviation. However, most of these studies omit to investigate antidepressants' effects on circulating levels of gonadal hormones. From data reviewed herein, it is evident that most antidepressants can influence testosterone and estrogen levels. Still, the evidence is conflicting, with some studies showing an increase, others a decrease or no effect. Most studies are conducted in male animals or humans, underscoring the importance of considering sex as an important variable in such investigations, especially as depression and anxiety disorders are more common in women than men. Therefore, and I'm going to point this out over and over again, therefore, research is needed to elucidate the extent to which antidepressants can influence both peripheral and brain levels of testosterone and estrogens in males and females, and whether this impacts the effectiveness or side effects of antidepressants. They don't know. There is a whole hell of a lot in here. We don't know. Let's see what this story is here. This was another National Institutes of Health study. Oh, yeah, here's a fun one. Here's a fun one, and it coincides. I got to jump around a little bit here, try to get my time. I tell you what, I'm going to take a break. So we know we've got our kids on these ADHD medications. You're finding out it affects puberty. It affects size. Probably didn't tell you those things when they gave them to you, did they? They just told you it would calm them down, make them easier to handle. Oh, not my kid, Mike. My kid really needed it. I mean, I agree with you. There's a lot of kids out there. There's too many people taking these drugs. But my kid really needed this drug. I know. Look, I've been a parent. Sometimes kids are a pain in the ass. No doubt about it. Any kids that are listening to this, you just wait. You're going to have kids one day, and you'll understand, too. Medicating them into a zombie state and not taking into consideration what it's doing to them, to their brains, to their physiology, I think is horrific. There's another class of medications that we're putting our kids on, and I'm going to show you why it's completely pointless to even put them on these medications, but we'll look at the potential side effects of putting them on this, and we're going to, of course, target one of my favorite targets here on this show, SSRIs. Oh, some interesting new studies about SSRIs. It's basically a conclusion of what I've been telling you for 5.5 years on WYAD. I'll be right back. A lot of people can see that we're doing a vast medical experiment right now when it comes to these new shots, these COVID shots. Untested, a brand new technology, never been used in human population before. You can see that. What most people cannot understand is we've been undergoing experimental treatments now for decades. through chemicals in our foods, through the medications that we have been convinced to just take at record numbers. Most over-medicated society in the history of mankind, with no signs of it abating. There was a... I'm going to reference endocrine disruptors. Let me give you the definition of that so you understand what I'm saying. The actual definition of this, endocrine disruptor, is a chemical compound that interferes with the normal functioning of the endocrine system and the reproductive and other biological processes regulated by it. Reproductive and other biological processes regulated by the endocrine system. Okay, so you understand when I'm coming at this, why is there so much gender confusion in our young people right now? Seems like an epidemic, doesn't it? Well, it's driven by a lot of young adults who appear to also have a lot of gender confusion now. Now, some of this is going to be cultural. I agree. You got to fight that at the cultural level. But if we've had our kids under chemical assault, and I'm listing product after product after product, that our kids have been raised on. And this is new. These are not things that have been around in our food supply and in our medicine cabinets for 100 years. And so now if it happens, then you can't really point at that. These are things that have been rolled out on our kids for the last 20 to 30 years. ADHD medications, hormones in the beef, in the milk. That didn't used to happen. But they found a way to get more yield out of the big agricultural things. Anything they can do to make more profit. Now, I sound like a lefty, don't I? Well, I think profit, without studying these things, and the FDA rubber stamps them because the FDA and all the regulatory bodies are on the take. There's just no other way to really put it. Here's another thing you might be looking for if you are worried about gender confusion with your kids. Now, there's a whole host of... This is kind of the theme of this because I see this as something that should be considered. And if you are seeking to spare your children gender confusion... Now, there have always been gay people. There have. I don't know what accounts for that. Obviously, nature cannot survive with an entirely gay population, so that is something that is unusual, but I think they've always been around. Be who you want to be. But when it comes to our kids and what may be affecting them physiologically that's tipping them towards gender dysphoria, I think that's a health-related issue. Another thing with the meds, on top of the ADHD medication, selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. SSRIs are one of the most prescribed classes of psychotropics. Even though the SSRI class consists of six molecules, it lists them, I'm not going to try to pronounce them, only fluoxetine was intensively studied for endocrine disruptive effects, while the other SSRIs received less attention. This study, this is a PubMed article that is published on the National Institutes of Health. This study was designed to evaluate the estrogenic, anti-estrogenic effect of fluoxetine, sertraline, and paroxetine. Now, let me see if I got down here. All three compounds were found to interact with the estrogen receptor. Fluoxetine had dual properties, weak estrogenic at lower concentrations and anti-estrogenic effect at higher concentrations. Sertraline shared the same properties with fluoxetine, but also increased the estradiol-mediated transcriptional activity. I know I'm giving you a bunch of scientific stuff. What I'm telling you is these are endocrine disruptors. How many of our kids, and not just the kids that are kids right now, but kids that were put on these drugs when they were 10 and now they're 30, that are experiencing these problems with, they feel a little bit like a girl. Well, could it be that we have been messing with their hormones for the past 20 years? Could that be a part of it? And here is the kicker here. Here's the kicker. This story just came out last Thursday. Thursday, July 21st, 2022. Now, if you've been listening to the Mike Madison Show, for the last 5.5 years, this is old news to you, but this is now mainstream news. Here is the title of this article. Depression is not caused by a chemical imbalance in the brain, say scientists. Here's the story. I'm going to read a chunk of this because this is one of the most disastrous things I think we've done to our entire population, both children and adults. There is no clear evidence that depression is caused by low serotonin levels, research suggests. The new review, which analyzed existing studies, suggests the condition is not likely caused by chemical imbalance and calls into question what antidepressants do. Researchers say their findings are important, as studies show that as many as 85 to 90% of the public believes that depression is caused by low serotonin or a chemical imbalance. Most antidepressants are selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SSRIs, and were originally said to work by correcting abnormally low serotonin levels. There is no other accepted way by which antidepressants affect the symptoms of depression. Understand what they're saying there? These things are entirely sold on, you've got a chemical imbalance in your brain. These drugs address that chemical imbalance. It's a problem with your serotonin levels. BS. I have played clips on here, on this show, repeatedly, and talked about it often. Psychiatrists, there's a reason why when you go into your doctor's office, they don't test you for your serotonin levels. They don't do any testing. They just whip out the prescription pad and give it to you. And I'm telling you now, these things are endocrine disruptors. How many of our kids? I've done the numbers. The hundreds, I believe it's 7 million kids right now that are on these antidepressants. And they're on it because doctors have been convinced that it's because these kids have got a serotonin problem in their brain. And so they're going to give them a pill that addresses the serotonin problem. Turns out, oops, there's no serotonin problem. Lead author Jonah Moncrief, a professor of psychiatry at UCF, is a consultant psychiatrist at Northeast London NHS Foundation Trust. She said, quote, "It is always difficult to prove a negative, but I think we can safely say that after a vast amount of research conducted over several decades, there is no convincing evidence that depression is caused by serotonin abnormalities, particularly by lower levels or reduced activity of serotonin. The popularity of this chemical imbalance theory of depression has coincided with a huge increase in the use of antidepressants. Prescriptions for antidepressants has risen dramatically since the 1990s, with 1 in 6 adults in England and 2% of teenagers now being prescribed an antidepressant in a given year." This is England. We know that the United States is far and away ahead of that. Many people, this is this author of the this professor, many people take antidepressants because they have been led to believe their depression is a biochemical cause, and this new research suggests this belief is not grounded in evidence. Thousands of people suffer from the side effects of antidepressants, including the severe withdrawal effects that can occur when people try to stop them, yet prescription rates continue to rise. It's high time to inform the public that this belief is not grounded in science. So not only are you offering a endocrine disruptor to your child or to yourself, you're doing it with something that's addressing a problem that doesn't even exist. They can't even prove it. It's never been proven. I played the man on the street, psychiatrist, at a big psychiatrist, and they said, "What is the chemical imbalance in the brain that antidepressants seek to solve?" And they said, "We don't know. We have no test for that." And think of the billions and billions of dollars they have made giving you these endocrine disruptors to you and to your children with no basis in fact that it actually addresses any of the problems. And I'm here to submit to you that some of this gender confusion is also a result of all these chemical cocktails. I'm not done. This topic is going to sail me through this show. There's another common target of this show, something else you're eating tons of, and you're feeding a ton of it to your children because organic's just too expensive. Oh, I didn't eat organic when I was a kid. That's what my dad used to say to me. I used to say, yeah, but you didn't have all these chemicals in your food in 1950 either. We're going to target in on this. Glyphosate-based herbicides are toxic and endocrine disruptors in human cell lines. I'll tell you where that story's published when I come back. Stick around. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We're doing Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. A slightly different take on it today as I'm pointing out chemical after chemical, product after product that have effects on both our youth and you adults. It's got effects on your hormones, their endocrine disruptors, all kinds of sexual side effects of some of these things. Is it just a big coincidence that we have started consuming these things in mass quantities over the last 20 to 30 years, and now we're seeing this upsurge in gender dysphoria and confusion, particularly among our youth and our young adults? Or maybe it's just a coincidence, and I'm wasting my time here, but I'm going to keep going. I've talked a lot about GMO foods. And the biggest problem that I see is the chemicals that they spray on. The reason they're genetically modified is so they can tolerate more herbicides and pesticides sprayed on top of them. And when the foods get these things sprayed on them, they don't get that, all of that stuff out of there before it gets to your stomach. And we are ingesting all of these chemicals. Here's a piece. This is actually on the National Institutes of Health website. This is the crazy thing. They know these things. Doesn't stop them from rubber stamping every single one of these products and putting it into your mouth. Now, I can't read this one. It is so science-y. It'd be terrible for radio, and I'm going to butcher a bunch of the terms. So let me just read you the headline of this NIH story here. Glyphosate-based herbicides are toxic and endocrine disruptors in human cell lines. This is a story on a study on the NIH National Institutes of Health website right now. I've got links to all this stuff if you want to email me and get it from me. Children's Health Defense. This is a story from November of 20. New research adds evidence that glyphosate disrupts hormones. And when I told you that you can go look at all of your products and see that all the soy in all of them, talked about soy and its estrogen mimicking characteristics, the fact that they can use an isolate from soy and give it to catfish and turn them all female. Yeah, you're feeding that to your kids. All of the soy is also treated with this herbicide. It's a double whammy as far as I can tell. I ain't no scientist. Evidence suggests, this is from the Defender, evidence suggests that Roundup, Monsanto's well-known glyphosate-based herbicide, can alter the biosynthesis of sexual hormones. New research is adding worrisome evidence to concerns that the widely used weed-killing chemical glyphosate may have the potential to interfere with human hormones. A paper published in the journal Chemosphere, Glyphosate and the Key Characteristic and the Key Characteristics of an Endocrine Disruptor, a review. Trio of scientists concluded that glyphosate appears to have 8 out of the 10 key characteristics associated with endocrine-disrupting chemicals. The authors cautioned, however, that prospective cohort studies are still needed to more clearly understand the impacts of glyphosate on the human endocrine system. And again, this gets into a lot of science down here. EDCs, that's endocrine-disrupting compounds, may mimic or interfere with the body's hormones and are linked with developmental and reproductive problems as well as brain and immune system dysfunction. Again, this is one of those things. Well, they need to do more study. As I told you earlier, there's a whole lot of, we really don't know. More study is needed. Well, I'm here to tell you, I think we're seeing the results. Now, the studies need to be done. I can't tie any one of these particular things to any other particular outcome. But holy cow, I believe we're under chemical assault, and we certainly are with our children. All of these things I'm mentioning to you, I want to make sure I reiterate this. These are really since the mid-90s. GMO foods, all of this glyphosate in our system, just since the mid-90s. Antidepressants, really big, particularly in our younger people, since the mid-1990s. ADHD medications that our kids have been put on, really since about the mid-1990s. This is when Big Pharma really took over and really started going after the kids. It really started taking over probably back in the 1980s. With the adults, but they set their sights on our kids back then, and now we've got young adults that are the result of this chemical assault. And there's one other thing you want to get to, because glyphosate is one of these chemicals used in agriculture that is an endocrine disruptor. And how about this one? This is out of Berkeley, University of Berkeley. Atrazine, one of the world's most widely used pesticides, wreaks havoc with the sex lives of adult male frogs, emasculating 3/4 of them and turning 1 in 10 into females, according to a new study by University of California. There's a biologist there at UC Berkeley. The 75% that are chemically castrated are essentially dead because of their inability to reproduce in the wild, reports UC Berkeley's Tyrone Hayes, professor of integrative biology. Atrazine, one of the world's most widely used pesticides. Widely used. The 10% or more that turn from males into females, something not known to occur under natural conditions in amphibians, can successfully mate with male frogs, but because these females are genetically male, all of the offspring are male. When we grow these guys up, they're talking about the frogs, depending on the family, we will get anywhere from 10 to 50% females Hayes said, in a population, the genetically male females. Does this sound at all familiar to anybody? The genetically male females. Doesn't it seem like we're kind of struggling with some issues along that way? Well, this atrazine stuff has been shown in frog population to actually turn males into females, where they can reproduce. In a population, the genetically male females can decrease or wipe out population just because they skew sex ratios so badly. And I had a link down here. Let me pull this up real quick. Where is atrazine used? Now, this is actually on atrazinefacts.com, and it's a pro article. This is a pro atrazine article. It's just one of these kind of chemical websites or whatever. There is a reason that atrazine is one of the leading herbicides. Unlike many other herbicides, atrazine has a wide spectrum of uses, applications, and utility. Farmers use atrazine to control weeds on well over half the country's corn acreage, about two-thirds of sorghum acreage, and 90% of sugarcane. In 2008, atrazine was used on nearly 70% of Illinois corn acreage, making it the second most popular herbicide for the state's corn farmers. I would imagine the first one was. Anyone? Glyphosate. Farmers use atrazine for its effective use against some of the toughest weeds in corn. And it goes on to talk about all the different weeds that it kills. So this is between atrazine and glyphosate. You got two endocrine disruptors. One of them actually turns frogs into females. Is this something maybe? I'm just saying. I ain't no scientist, ain't no biologist, ain't no rocket surgeon. But if you've got chemicals that are being sprayed on our foods that are endocrine disruptors, and some of them are actually responsible for changing the sex of amphibians, maybe we throw this into the conversation. This has been going on now for 30 years in earnest, I would say. Mid-1990s, this stuff's been going on. Is it a coincidence that we are seeing all these problems now and for the past decade or so? Seems like 20 years of these chemicals have built up in our young people. They are now young adults, and they are really confused. Maybe we should start looking at the chemicals they've been ingesting. I'll be right back. From all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling. All right, final segment. I pretty much have said my piece. Took me about an hour and a half to do it, but I've said my piece. We are under chemical assault in this country. I'm going to relist all of these things that we covered today as far as endocrine disruptors that I believe play a role, possibly significant role, in what we're seeing right now with this gender dysphoria stuff that seems to almost be an epidemic. 30 years of these chemicals and these things introduced into our foods and our medicines. And I believe we're now seeing the results. Culture plays a part in it, no doubt about it. But who's driving that culture? Probably some people who have been under chemical attack for the last 30 years. Ultimately, though, I want this show to be one of empowerment. And boy, I did a lot of word salading in there. A lot of science stuff, a lot of moving from product to product. Ultimately, you can eliminate a lot of this stuff out of your diet, because this is affecting adults, too. A lot of these things, I kind of focused in on the gender stuff, but a lot of these things are attached to cancers, to mood disorders for adults. God knows adults are swallowing mommy's little helper antidepressants every day. A lot of these things are affecting adults. Dudes out there with your man boobs, I just told you, your tagamet is reducing your testosterone levels. I'm on a crusade against man boobs, too. These are things happening to us because of the stuff we are ingesting. I covered soy. It's in everything, but you can get it out. There's alternatives to just everything I'm telling you about. ADHD medications. What's so funny to me, here's how ADHD medications take place in a lot of cases I know. Everybody thinks they're the exception. Their child is really the one that's got the bad brain. They've got to be on these medications. I'm just telling you, if you're guilty of any of these things, you might rethink that. Here's what happens is parents let their kids stay up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning on their phones or playing video games. They don't monitor their sleep habits whatsoever. They don't take their phones away from them. The kids stay up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. They wake up. They're hard to wake up in the morning. The parents then feed them Frosted Flakes and a Red Bull for breakfast, send them off to school. The kid can't sit still. The school counselor calls the parents and says, "We think your kid needs to be on some medications." Just setting these kids up to fail. Setting these kids up. I mean, it's a beautiful business model for Big Pharma. You give them a Red Bull and Frosted Flakes for breakfast and then penalize the kid and drug them because they won't sit still in second period. This happens. Because Dr. Duncan asked, well, what did you feed your... What are the sleep habits like? Are there healthier... healthy alternatives for what we could put into their diet or healthier habits we could undertake before we consider these drugs? No, absolutely not. They just go, oh, yeah, we got a pill for that. And it's going to turn them into a zombie and maybe make them really depressed, but we'll just adjust the dose till we find the right dosage. Well, you're finding out now that these ADHD drugs are also endocrine disruptors. So we got soy, ADHD medications, SSRIs, these antidepressants, plastics, cosmetics, glyphosate, atrazine, all of these things. You can make a conscious decision to start getting these products out of your medicine cabinets and out of your pantries. You can eat real food. There's even cosmetics now that don't have these phthalates and other kinds of chemicals in there that maybe for your young daughter, maybe you just give her a more conscious decision when it comes to it. They still work. They still make them pretty. They just don't introduce these endocrine disruptors to our young kids. We have a big problem in this country with fertility. Sperm counts are down something like, what is the number? 50% over the last 20 years? I've just read to you all of these different things that are in our food supplies and in our medications that's reducing testosterone and harming reproductive health. And we're scratching our heads. What in the world's going on? We're not reproducing as a species. We can't maintain a society. We're not replacing ourselves here. Gee, could it be all of this list of things I just told you that are affecting reproductive health? And I'm telling you, when you look at soy, these medications, plastics, cosmetics, glyphosate, atrazine, you're consuming all of these basically on a daily basis in microscopic amounts. But you're doing it every day. You're giving it to your kids every single day. So I'm just saying, like I say, I'm kind of saying my piece here. I'm done. This will be the only day that I tackle this topic because I have done it exhaustively. If you want any of this source material, you can email me, MikeMadison@WYEB.com. But I think, you know, go do your own research. Take the products that you're feeding your kids right now or that your young adults have been raised on, and maybe they can make new choices for their children. Look at these things you're looking at. Look at dangers of. Find these ingredients in the products that you're using and just do an internet search for possible dangers of or any of these kinds of things. You will find, I'm reading to you from the NIH website. I'm not reading to you from some conspiracy theorist forum on Reddit. These studies are out there. This news is out there. And as I said, it's so frustrating to me to see all these things that say, well, more study is needed. And when you understand the whole game behind research, health research, it's only done when there's money involved. There's no money in keeping you healthy. There's just no money in that. Who makes money for you not needing antidepressants? Anyone? I mean, maybe a good psychologist could hawk that as some kind of, but nobody makes any money keeping you off of medications. They only make money putting you on medications. So any of the products out there that are forcing people to have bad health outcomes, that's profitable to a whole group of people, all kinds of different industries. Trust me, there is no lobbying Congress or lobbying state legislatures for all of us to be more healthy. But I can guarantee you right now, there is a soy lobby. God knows we know there's a pharmaceutical lobby. There is a plastics lobby. There's a cosmetics lobby. There are certainly chemicals like glyphosate and atrazine They're the Chemical Manufacturers Association of America. They are out there lobbying to make sure that the FDA, the EPA, all of these things rubber stamp these drugs. And I hate to tell you, I like America. I like the way we were founded and all that good stuff. But Europe is well ahead of us on this. They have not been bought and paid for. They don't have the advertisers that drive the media, so the media gets out stories. Hey, we might want to rethink this whole coating all of our food in this herbicide glyphosate. There's a lot of studies show it causes cancer. It's an endocrine disruptor. See, the media can go tell the people in Europe that, and the people in Europe can go, no, we don't want that on our food stuff. Not here. Here, these companies own our media. They own our politicians. And they're putting this stuff in your food. And you're all out there on the front lines trying to battle this gender dysphoria we're seeing with our kids, not understanding that we've all kind of participated in it, creating it, I believe. Again, I've got no straight lines from one of these products to gender dysphoria because there's needs to be more study done. But there's no money in studying that, so it won't ever be done. There's actually anti-money. People will lose money doing these studies, so these studies will be squashed. We're under chemical assault in this country. And again, all of these things, you can make a conscious decision. It's pretty darn easy. I've got like a gravity-fed stainless steel water filter. Everybody could have one. Really not that expensive. I think mine was $140. I got to get a new filter every now and then. You could take a bunch of crap out of your water. You can opt for organic food and get all this glyphosate and this atrazine stuff out of your food if you want to. You can work with your kids to make healthy choices for your children. The earlier you start, the better. And maybe they won't need ADHD medications and antidepressants. And pay attention to their gut health. I've given you all the tools over the last 5.5 years of what you can do to have happier, healthier children, and you won't need all of these medications. But all of these things are within our power to change. It's just this isn't part of the conversation at all. And after today, it won't be something I probably touch for a while either. But I thought it was worth considering. It's about all the time that I've got for today. We'll be back tomorrow with a whole new show.
No
see you
matter
then.
How hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.